Hare Krishna. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here or listening in online. Today's Srimad Bhagavatam class, Thursday. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jananandana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Go Premanandi, Shishi Radha Kalachanji ki, Shishi Radha Govinda ki, Shishi Chota Radha Kalachanji ki, Shishi Chota Radha Govinda ki, Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Shishi Gaurani Thai ki, Tulsi Devi ki, Vanashinga Dev ki, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories and glories to the beautiful feet of Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Excuse me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, Text Number 51. Dukhasya hetur yadi devatastu. Dukhasya hetur yadi devatastu. Kim atmanas tatra vikarayostat. Kim atmanas tatra vikarayostat. Yadangam angena nihanyate chavit. Yadangam angena nihanyat chavit. Kujeta kasmai purushaha svadehe. Krujeta kasmai purusha svadehe. Dukasya hetur yadi devatastu. Kim atmanas tatra vikarostat. Yadangam angena nihanyate chavit. Kudyeta kasmai purusha svadehe. Does anybody want to repeat? Kim atmanastatra vikarajostat. Yadangam angena nihanyate kavit. Krudyeta kasmai purusha svadehe. Dukasya hetu yadi devatastu. Kim atmanas tatra vikariyosta. Yarangamangena nihanyate chavit. Pudyeta kasmai purusha svadehe. Dukasya hetu yadi devatastu. Kim atmanastatra vikarasat. Yadanga mangena nihanyate chavit. Kudyete kasmai purusha svadehe. Excellent, very nice. Thanks everybody for chanting. That was really good. Word for word. Dukasya, of suffering. Hetu, the cause. Yadi, if. Devata, the demigods who rule over the different senses within the body. Tu, but. Kim, what. Atmana, for the soul, tatra, in that connection, vikarayo, which pertain to the transformable senses and their deities, tat, that, acting and being acted upon. Yat, when. Angam, a limb. Angena, by another limb. Nihanyate, is hurt. Chavit, I'm sorry, it's kva chit, ever. Krudyeta, should become angry. Kasmai, at whom? Purusha, the living entity. Svadehe, within his own body. Translation and purport by the followers of his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. If you say that the demigods who rule the bodily senses cause suffering, still, how can such suffering apply to the spirit soul? This acting and being acted upon are merely interactions of the changeable senses and their presiding deities. When one limb of the body attacks another, with whom can the person in that body be angry? Please repeat. If you say that the demigods who rule the bodily senses cause suffering, still, how can such suffering apply to the spirit soul? This acting and being acted upon are merely interactions of the changeable senses and their presiding deities. When one limb of the body attacks another, with whom can the person in that body be angry? Purport. The Brahmana is elaborately explaining the condition of self-realization, in which one understands oneself to be totally distinct from the material body and mind and the demigods who control them. By cultivating bodily happiness, we are forced to accept bodily pain. Foolish, conditioned souls endeavor to eliminate distress and enjoy happiness. But material happiness and distress are two sides of the same coin. One cannot relish bodily happiness without identifying oneself as the body. But as soon as such identification occurs, one is harassed by the innumerable pains and sufferings, also inevitably present within the same body. Bodily happiness and distress are administered by the demigods, who can never be brought under our control. Thus one remains subject to the whims of providence on the material platform. If, however, one surrenders to the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, one can reach the spiritual platform where transcendental bliss enlivens the liberated souls without any interruption. Excuse me. Let's start that sentence again. It's pretty important. Oh boy, it's a long one. If, however, one surrenders to the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, one can reach the spiritual platform where transcendental bliss enlivens the liberated souls without any interrupting anxiety or unhappiness. Without any interrupting anxiety or unhappiness. Om Gyanam Sinandasya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshuru and Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobisham Shapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Svaha Padantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances under the dust of his lotus feet. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Tamal Krishna Goswami Iti Namane. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavari Pashkatade Shatarine Vanchakalpatarubhascha Kripasana Sivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, Chapter 23, Text, Number 51. And this is a very famous section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the song of the Avanti, Avanti Brahmana. Avanti is a place. The Brahmana is from Avanti, right? It almost sounds like a place in Italy, right? Avanti, Avanti, right? Oh, Avanti. Italiano, right? From it could be from Italia, right? So it's from a city where all of the usual sufferings and happinesses are going on, right? The Avanti Brahmana was a businessman and he had a family. He was very angry a lot. He wasn't a happy fellow. And he made the people around him very unhappy. So in course of time, he lost everything, right? And everything's taken away. And we're going to read a little bit about how this verse came about, or this chapter came about. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, right? This section of the Bhagavatam is called the Uddhava Gita. Krishna and Uddhava. Uddhava is Krishna's dear friend. He's such a dear friend. He wears Krishna's clothes, his older clothes. He looks like Krishna. And Uddhava is an associate of Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna's friend in Dwarka. So Krishna and Uddhava are having this conversation. And at the end of the previous chapter, chapter 23, this chapter begins with Krishna's answer to a question that Uddhava asked. Do you want to know what the question Uddhava asked was? Yeah, because it's pretty interesting. Uddhava asks a question, and Krishna gives us this chapter where Krishna narrates the song of the Avanti Brahmana. He tells the story of the Avanti Brahmana. So let's see what the context is for that. This song of the Avanti Brahmana, it's also known as the Bhikshu Gita. And there's one major conclusion. This is what we want to keep in mind as we go through this. Our mind alone is the cause of our happiness and distress. It is the mind alone is the cause of our happiness and distress. The real purpose of religion, charity, is to control the mind. The real goal of all spiritual effort is to control the mind. Because we have to control the mind in order to be able to worship Krishna nicely, right? The real goal of everything is Krishna, right? But our mind is an incredible obstacle to achieving peacefulness. And so that's what Krishna is going to be telling us about. How you can control the mind so that you can be peaceful. And you can practice Krishna consciousness nicely. And so, at the end of the last chapter, Krishna begins this chapter with his answer to Uddhava's question from the 22nd chapter. So let's go there and read that. I don't want to lose my place here. So the 20, and this is, the question is asked in the 11th canto, chapter 22, text number 58 and 59. And they're together. And here's the translation. Even though neglected, insulted, ridiculed, or envied by bad men, or even though repeatedly agitated by being beaten, tied up, or deprived of one's occupation, spat upon or polluted with urine by ignorant people, one who desires the highest goal in life should, in spite of all these difficulties, use his intelligence to keep himself safe on the spiritual platform. Excuse me. Oh, and then Krishna says, then that's what Krishna's statement, right? Then Uddhava says, oh, best of all speakers, please explain to me how I may properly understand this. So Uddhava's asking, how can I understand this? Uddhava says, oh, soul of the universe, the conditioning of one's personality in material life is very strong. And therefore, it is very difficult even for learned men to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. Only your devotees who are fixed in your loving service and who have achieved peace by residing at your lotus feet are able to tolerate such offenses. So that's what we're getting to. We have to be able to control the mind so that we can tolerate the pains and sufferings of this material world, which are going to be severe. They're going to be constant. They are a concomitant factor of happiness. If you get happiness, you're going to have what? Distress. I'm sorry? Misery, yeah. Misery, you can answer, yeah. Shout out. And if you have a question at any point, I want answers. That's good. I was going to ask Sam, too. If you have happiness, you're always going to have what? Unhappiness. If you have sunshine, you're always going to have what? Dark. Right. And this is because of the dual nature of the material world. It's always a little bit good, a little bit bad. We have good days, we have bad days. Goodness, badness, happiness, sadness. The devotees of Krishna are able to tolerate the difficulties because they've controlled their mind. What's going to happen when you have intense unhappiness pushed upon you? What would you do, Sam, if somebody spit in your face? Either hit him or walk away. That's really good. That's a great answer. The best thing to do is walk away, right? Remain calm. Remain peaceful. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to tolerate even someone speaking something against us or saying something we don't like, right? And it's said in the summary of this chapter, words, harsh words can pierce the heart more painfully than arrows. Wow. Somebody's harsh words can hurt us more severely than arrows. Here's the statement. The harsh words of uncouth persons pierce the heart even more severely than arrows. So Uddhava is asking, he's saying, Krishna, explain this to me. You know, how can this be? Krishna is telling us we have to use our intelligence. And our mind is the resting place of our intelligence. We have to use our mind, our intelligence, to tolerate insult, neglect, all of these ridicule, being envied by bad men, by being repeatedly agitated, by being beaten up. How many times do you think you could tolerate being beaten up before you go crazy, right? Tied up. Man, that's my big fear. I'd hate to be tied up, right? That would be awful. Deprived of one's occupation. Spat upon. Polluted with urine. Oh my God. Ignorant people harassing you. One who desires the highest goal in life should, in spite of all these difficulties, use his intelligence to keep himself safe by remaining on the spiritual platform. So Uddhava is asking how to understand this. How can I understand this? Controlling the mind is hard enough. You've told me, Krishna, I should control the mind in order to avoid sinful activities, in order to worship you. But I can't even begin to control my mind when someone is being mean to me. Or agitating my mind. How can I deal with this? So Krishna's response is the whole chapter 23, the Song of the Vanti Brahmana. And Uddhava describes that only Krishna's devotees who are fixed in his loving service and who have achieved peace by residing where? At Krishna's lotus feet. Only such devotees as these are able to tolerate the offenses committed against them by ignorant people. The offenses committed against them by ignorant people. Do you all want to be that kind of person? Well, you don't want to be an ignorant person, but do you want to be the kind of person that can tolerate these offenses? I've seen you, Sam, in your life, you're very tolerant. You tolerate offenses and you've been through a lot. And you're very good at tolerating, you know, and being patient and knowing that Krishna will help you in the end. And that kind of knowledge is very beneficial. It's very beneficial. And that knowledge is what the Avanti Brahmana gets. His understanding based on renunciation, because Krishna takes everything away. And in fact, people begin to treat him very badly because he has nothing. What do we do when we see somebody out on the street and they don't have anything, right? They have that hungry look in their eye. Maybe they really are hungry in their belly. You know, they don't get to eat 3 square meals a day. Maybe they're hungry because of some pain or suffering in their life, but they're out on the street. How do we treat them? Do we say, sure, come on, get in my car. Do you need a ride somewhere? What can I do to help? You want to stay the night? Do you need a place to stay? I got an extra room. You can sleep on the couch. No, we don't do that. We don't want those people around us, do we? No, they're homeless. They have nothing. And in fact, if they get in our way, we'll kick them, right? We'll spit on them. We'll say, don't get in the way of my sense enjoyment. I'm a big shot. I have money and a car and wealth, and I took a bath today, and you didn't. So get out of my way. And if you try, if I find some reason to be unhappy with you, I'm going to persecute that person, right? I'm going to be mean and nasty to that person. Society is that way. We don't want to deal with these people, you know? And so we all know we can see it. This isn't just a story from millions of years ago or thousands of years ago or a made-up story. This is a real, really happened, you know? The Avanti businessman became the Avanti Brahmana. And along the way, the proof of his Krishna consciousness, the proof of his staying fixed in spiritual understanding was that he tolerated all this abuse. People would abuse him. He would travel village to village begging and, you know, to eat. He has to keep his body alive, but he was not bodily conscious. He didn't care whether he got food or didn't, whether it was good food or not. Animals would come and steal the food that he had. And he just tolerated it. But let's get to the verse today, because we're a little bit further into the chapter. We're at text 51. Let's see how many verses we have left for this chapter. Not a lot. We're almost done. It goes to 61. But this is such an important chapter. The verse today is the Avanti Brahmana is speaking. He says, if you say that demigods who rule the bodily senses cause suffering, still, how can such suffering apply to the spirit soul? Material suffering, material things, cannot affect the spirit soul. We are spirit souls. Happiness and sadness on a material level are not the happiness and sadness of the spirit soul. The spirit soul has no material connection. It has no material basis for enjoyment or unhappiness. The spirit soul is always happy in spiritual bliss, in spiritual energy. But how come we're not feeling that? If my true nature is spiritual bliss, I'm not experiencing that right now. Okay? I am in a body. And I think I am my body. I think I'm male, I'm white, I have a job, I have to go do this, I have that, and I have to maintain it, and I have to take care of it. I don't feel spiritual bliss because my soul is covered over. It's not that the nature of the soul is ever changed by its connection with the material energy, but it becomes covered by the material energy. So we can't understand who we really are in relationship to Krishna. The spirit soul is blissful and loving and entirely, completely transcendental to the material world. And it is a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you imagine what would happen today if someone were, say, the friend, or the servant, or the secretary of Bill Gates, and he fell down and bumped his head, or he went for a walk and drank some water, contaminated water, something. But what happened was and he forgot who he was. He forgot that he was the number two man at Microsoft, you know. Bill Gates isn't number one there anymore, but he still owns a lot of the stock. But let's say you were the secretary to the president of the United States. You were the vice president. but something happened and you forgot who you were, people would be shaking you. Hey, man, you're the vice president. Hey, you are the servant of the wealthiest man on the planet. What are you doing? You're walking around. You know, you're naked, or you've been beat up. You're living on the street. You're just sitting in a empty lot somewhere. Wake up. Your real position, not real, I'm just mean for this story, is the right-hand man or the wealthiest man around. Don't you want to enjoy what you could have? The same thing is true of us. We are the personal friend, associate, lover, parental person, servant, you know, all the different relationships that you can have with Krishna. We're in that. We have those relationships with Krishna, but we're not aware of it. We're not, and what are we doing to become aware of that? What are we doing? Do we have some renunciation? Have we begun to renounce the enjoyments of the material world in a serious way, such that we can start to say, oh yeah, now I get it. I'm supposed to be with Krishna. I'm Krishna's friend. I'm supposed to do this for Krishna. I'm supposed to do that for Krishna. I'm supposed to serve Srimati Radharani. I'm supposed to serve the gopis. I'm supposed to serve the gopas. I'm supposed to serve Nanda and Yashoda. What do you do in the spiritual world? Do we all believe that? Do we believe we have a higher relationship with God than what we have with each other in the material world? Or is this the top? Is this the topmost place? Is the topmost thing to be president of the United States? Because if it is, I don't believe it. I see the guy that's president right now. And there's no way that's the highest position. If he can get there, I mean, you could put an ant there and he'd probably be more qualified than the guy we have right now. That's not the goal. That's not the goal, to have, you know, dominion and control over the material world. You could have control over every planet in this material universe. You could have the demigods as your servants serving you. Who was that, Sam? Who had the demigods as his own personal servants? And who had to come jump out of a pillar to kill him? The demon was in charge of the universe. He had taken over. He had the demigods. His name was Hiranyakashipu. Do you know the story?
Yeah.
And Prahlad Maharaj was his son, and his son was a devotee of Krishna. Which incarnation of Krishna came to protect Prahlad?
Lord
Nisringadev, right. Krishna as a lion, half man, half lion, roaring with anger. Have you ever heard a lion's roar? Oh man, it is a big deal. It is deep. It is like it reverberates. It comes from their whole body, something. This roar comes out. A friend of mine lives in Taro, devotee, our dear friend Radhanath Swami. There's a big cat animal sanctuary near his house in Taro. Near Taro, he has a farm. It's our Kalachanji's farm, right? So in the mornings, he said sometimes he hears the lion roar. And it is a quarter mile away, and he can hear it. The roar of the lion. When Hiranyakashipu bursts out of the pillar, it destroyed everything for hundreds of miles. It was destroyed. The roar shook the entire universe. It caused incredible shock wave. And Krishna comes as Lord Nisringadev to protect his devotees. Well, Krishna is our Lord, and specifically we're meant to serve him in love. The demigods all took up residence in Navadvip to serve Lord Nisringadev after he killed Hiranyakashipu. he was covered in blood, Lord Nrisimhadev, and he was angry. He was so angry after he killed Hiranyakashipu. The demigods didn't know what to do. Lakshmi was his wife. She didn't know what to do. The demigods took Prahlad, little Prahlad, and they pushed him up, said, "You go talk to him. We'll put you in front of him, and he won't be so angry." So Prahlad went up with a garland, took a garland. Lord Nrisimhadev licked him. He licked Prahlad. So his anger subsided a little bit. But Lord Nrisimhadev is still angry. And to this day, Lord Nrisimhadev is still angry at how Prahlad was being treated. And we can rest assured that anybody that tries to hurt us really terribly, Lord Nrisimhadev will protect us. Was Lord Nrisimhadev protecting the Avanti Brahmana, Sam?
No, I never heard that.
People were spitting on him, right? They were treating him bad. He could have said, "Why isn't Lord Nrisimhadev taking care of me? Why don't I have a palace to live in? Krishna, come on. I'm your devotee. Give me. Take care of me." "Oh, Krishna's not taking care of me. I'm done with Krishna. Krishna didn't come protect me. Somebody spit in my face." Do you know how gross that is? Is that what the Avanti Brahmana did? No. He tolerated it. Because he didn't want to get caught up in this happiness and distress and anger mode. He didn't let the modes of material energy, goodness, happiness, and passion overwhelm him. Those modes are controlled by the demigods. And they're putting us into these modes and they're sending us stimuli and senses and messing with us to keep us in a material world. It's all based on our karma, right? Our karma, the good and bad things we did in the past, require the demigods to treat us a certain way. We get reactions. Death, disease, old age, happiness, sadness. It's all there. It's in a book. It's kept track of. Here's how much sense gratification Sam's going to get in this lifetime. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless you become a devotee of Krishna and learn how not to become affected by what the demigods are putting us through, by what our own karma is putting through. Because the demigods are the agents of karma. They're the agents of time. Well, actually, Krishna is time. But we're put into this time factor, and we have to tolerate old age, disease, and death constantly in a constant circle, right? Until we get out of this material world. And this pastime is here to tell us how we can get out of the material world, how we can cultivate a consciousness, right? It takes hard work. Anything that ever got done, even in the material world, anything that gets done materially is not by chance, right? The scientists try to say the whole material world was just created by chance. The Big Bang, it just happened. It's just chance. It's just chaos theory, right? They have these theories. The scientists are big cheaters. They're big, big cheaters because they can't understand it. They can't explain consciousness. They can't explain the universe. They can't explain how this all came to be. So they make up stories and say, "Believe this." Now, next week I'll have a new story for you, and it'll be slightly different from the old story, but it'll have elements of the old story. But please believe this now. And 5 years from now, they'll have the next story, right? The Bhagavatam's not like that. We don't get like a coming attractions like the scientists. "Oh, don't worry. One day we'll understand these things." One of the greatest scientists, so-called scientists or thinkers of the world, just passed away. He lived in England. He was a physicist, an astrophysicist. And I forgot his name. Do y'all remember? Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking passed away. What was the conclusion of his life? Did he solve the answer, the mysteries of the universe? No, he had theories. He had a lot of theories. But what was the ultimate conclusion of Stephen Hawking at the end of his life? Atheism. There is no God. We exist. I haven't been able to explain it to you yet, but I know one day I will. Oh, guess what? I'm dead. He ran out of time. He can't explain it to us anymore. And he never fulfilled his promise. And in fact, all he got at the for his understanding was a belief that God doesn't exist. Atheism, the opposite of theism. Theism is that God exists, God created this place, or he created enough of the elements to put it all in motion that it's the form that we see it now, right? Okay, did he personally come down and invent that little bush right outside the temple? No. But he put into force the elements of the material universe, and then he put in all of those things were created, all of the soup, right, or what do you want to call it, the raw elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, all of those things were there. And Krishna is never contaminated by the material energy, so a special kind of in-between God and demigod, Lord Shiva, he impregnates the universe, and the universe lives. It begins to exist. All of those inert elements become alive, and we have planets, we have air, earth, water, fire, and the airs travel throughout the universe. If there were no air traveling throughout the universe, we couldn't even breathe. What happened when Dhruva was meditating, right? Dhruva was meditating for months, and then he stopped breathing. He was able to control his breath. It would take one breath a month or something. Once he stopped breathing, the whole universe stopped breathing. They said, Vishnu, help us. Instantly, Lord Narayan goes down to talk to Dhruva, my child. I'm giving you my darshan. You've been begging to see me. Now you can see me. And as soon as Dhruva saw Lord Narayan, all of his desires to be the king of the mightiest empire, to be the emperor of the universe, to have a kingdom greater than his father, it all fell apart. All he wanted was darshan of Lord Narayan. All he wanted was to see Lord Narayan again. And when Lord Narayan left his associate, boom, Dhruva was sad. Oh, God. I spent all this time wanting some material thing, and what I really wanted is to serve Krishna, serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And so we'll get back to the verse. This is a nice purport to explain it sometimes seems a little bit difficult to understand. This acting and being acted upon are merely interactions of the changeable senses and their presiding deities. When one limb of the body attacks another, with whom can the person in that body be angry? So it's getting at the material nature. Happiness and distress are two sides of the same coin. The condition of self-realization, in which one understands oneself to be totally distinct from the material body and the mind and the demigods who control them. That's what this is getting at. We need to recognize that our spiritual nature, our self as spirit soul, is totally distinct from our mind. And to do that, we have to have mind control. We have to control our mind. The demigods can't be brought under our control. But by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can control our mind. Arjuna says to Krishna, this mind is harder to control than the wind. I mean, I think it'd be easier to control the wind than to control my mind, right? Does anybody know what verse that's in? Somebody say it in the back. Let's look it up. Do you ever do that with the index? To Bhagavad Gita, the general index? You're like, oh, I have a question about this topic. You just look in the index, and then you go right to that verse, and it answers. It's like, wow. Let's see, control, constitutional. Uh-oh, it's not under control. Maybe I can't spell very well. So let's try... You don't always get your answer right away, right? Sometimes when you have to use the index, you got to try several approaches to get the right thing. Do you think it's under wind, Sam? It is. It's under wind. Under W, the word wind, Krishna controls, comma, 9.6. Shall we read that? 9.6. Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Chapter 9, text number 6. Krishna speaking. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. For the ordinary person, it is almost inconceivable how the huge material creation is resting in him. But the Lord is giving an example which may help us to understand. The sky may be the biggest manifestation we can conceive. And in that sky, the wind or air is the biggest manifestation in the cosmic world. The movement of the air influences the movements of everything. But although the wind is great, it is still situated within the sky. The wind is not beyond the sky. Similarly, all the wonderful cosmic manifestations are existing by the supreme will of God, and all of them are subordinate to that supreme will. As we generally say, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, everything is moving under His will. By His will, everything is being created, everything is being maintained, and everything is being annihilated. Still, He is aloof from everything, as the sky is always aloof from the activities of the wind. So what we're looking at is... I'm sorry, I didn't get the exact answer where Krishna answers this question. Let's try for that. The answer is Krishna has to help us. You know, we want to control our mind. We have to focus our mind on Krishna. That's the answer. If we don't begin to bring Krishna into our life in a really serious way, we can't control ourselves. The Avanti Brahmana, when he was confronted with this setbacks in life, he recognized it as the grace or the opportunity or the kindness of the Lord. Who can think that? Who thinks that material distress is actually the kindness of the Lord? Well, Mother Kunti was that way, and she prayed that way. She understood that by being put into material discomfort, difficulty, Krishna was helping them. Each step of the way. And so she realized that, and so she actually prayed for Krishna's for difficulties. That's pretty amazing. So we're running out of time here. I want to wrap it up. There's going to be a really nice, better explanation for this section right here, and it's coming up, where Krishna is going to explain. Actually, I'm going to read it. Don't tell anybody. I read a little ahead. It was really amazing how Krishna answers things. Okay, it's kind of in the middle, but let's talk about it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that of the 64 items required for rendering devotional service, acceptance of the symbolic marks of a sannyasi is a regulative principle. If one accepts the sannyas order, his main business is to devote his life completely to the service of Mukunda, Krishna. If one does not completely devote his mind and body to the service of the Lord, he does not actually become a sannyasi. It is not simply a matter of changing dress. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. One who works devotedly for the satisfaction of Krishna is a sannyasi. The dress is not sannyas, but the attitude of service to Krishna is. So we're going to read more how what we do is practically the same as being a sannyasi. A sannyasi just wears the clothes, right, of a sannyas mendicant. But all of us are supposed to be sannyasis in that we've dedicated our lives, our efforts to the service of Krishna. If you've done that, you're a sannyasi. The Avanti Brahmana is famous for being a sannyasi. He takes sannyas and then learns to tolerate everything and control his mind through service to Krishna. So that's what we want. We all want to remember that it is by our service to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deity, honoring Krishna Prasad, associating with devotees, reading the Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavad Gita. These are the things we have to do to control our mind. So it's that simple. The more we do it, the more we can control our mind. The less we do it, the more we are subject to being angry and unhappy by the material energy. We're not the material energy. We're spirit soul, and we're meant to be with Krishna. We are all inheritors of our father's estate. Can you imagine? You have an inheritance waiting for you. All the spiritual pleasure and bliss of the spiritual world is waiting for you. Krishna says, the only price to pay, you gotta want it. It's your birthright to have it. It's your inheritance. If you knew you were supposed to get an inheritance from a really rich man, wouldn't you go and find out about it? And we have this from Krishna. Krishna wants to give us everything. So let's try to concentrate on doing that more in our lives and to accept Krishna more in our life. So thanks for listening in. And if you were listening online or you were listening with some device, or you were here, thanks for y'all being here. It was really nice of you to come and listen and have to be subjected to my talking. Do we have any comments or questions? Is it breakfast time, Sam?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think you're right. Let's honor Prasad. Krishna Prasadam Ki. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Shri Prabhupada Ki.